Now you are mine. Well, it's not bad. It's just there's a lot. So we're going to finish up. We left off yesterday. We just finished asthma. We're going to start up with COPD. Then we'll do pneumonia, then lung cancer. And then we'll switch over to drugs. And we have to finish all of that today because Monday we're going to start with anemias. And anemias takes about a day and a half, maybe 2 days. Then we'll switch over to, on the syllabus, I think it says cancer. Yeah, we'll probably just do cancer right there. And then the last 2 days, if there are 2 days left, we will do anemias. Did I say anemias again? A second time? No, we will do blood clots and clotting medications. So there's a lot to do, and it all hinges on us being able to get completely done with respiratory today. See, they're laughing. They don't think we can do it. It's because they have no faith. All right, so before we begin with COPD, someone tell me the three big things that happen to a person in asthma. Bronchoconstriction. What's number two? Bronchial edema. Is that not what you said? Mucus. And, oh, what's the third one? Bronchial edema. All right, so we have the bronchoconstriction, we have the pulmonary edema, bronchial edema, and then we have the excess mucus. So all three things together make narrowed passageway harder to breathe. All right, what we're going to talk about today is something called chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It is a disease state characterized by airflow limitation that is not fully reversible. So I want you to concentrate on these last three words. Repeat them after me. Not fully reversible. Now, some of the damage can be reversed, but not all of the damage. Which brings us to another fun word, progressive. Now, progressive in this sense does not mean communist. It does not mean popular. It does not mean Barack Obama. What it means is that once the damage is done, it doesn't go backwards. But then a little bit more damage can be done, and it doesn't go backwards. So the disease is going to progress as a person gets older or as a person continues to do whatever behavior was causing the disease in the first place. And what is the number one behavior associated with this disease? Smoking. The next word we want to know is abnormal inflammatory response. Go ahead, say it. Now, ordinarily, if you breathed in something gross, ammonia gas, coal dust, asbestos, how would your lung react? You'd get a little bit of an inflammatory response. It would do some bad stuff. If you breathed in a little bit of dust, what would it do? Make you sneeze, cough. Maybe a little bit of mucus to help get that stuff out of there, and then you'd be over it. Now, in a person who's got COPD, if they breathe in a little bit of dust, what's going to happen is they're going to get a huge inflammatory response. So their airways are hyperreactive. So have you ever said to someone, excuse me, can I get by? What would most people do? Okay, sure. And they step aside, you go by, and they step back, right? Now, have you ever said that to someone who's having a really bad day? What do they do? No, I will not step aside. Are you crazy? I have no way. Okay, so that's kind of what the airway of someone who's got COPD is like. Now, COPD is a mixture of chronic bronchitis and emphysema. The etiology, the number one associated with COPD, is smoking. Some other things include occupational exposure to things like dust, pollution, coal mining dust, and air pollution, and, of course, genetics. Some people are just more genetically inclined to getting these diseases. All right, so we're going to talk about chronic bronchitis first, and then we'll talk about emphysema. Chronic bronchitis is considered a hypersecretion of mucus and chronic productive cough for more than 3 months in a year, 12-month, not calendar year, for at least 2 consecutive years. If you have this, you're considered to have chronic bronchitis. It's more prevalent during the winter, which means that people tend to cough more in the winter and then they get better during the summer. That kind of makes sense. 20 times more incidence in smokers. Incidence means new diagnoses. So 20 times more new diagnoses in smokers than in non-smokers. So again, what's the number one risk factor for getting this disease? Smoking. And we actually have a special term for it. Smokers cough. More common in elderly, because they've had more time to accumulate damage from smoking or other environmental things. And it's associated with repeat infections. So, repeat after me. Bacteria loves mucus. I want you to draw a little bacteria, and then a heart, and then mucus. And I want you to put the whole thing in a big heart. Okay, because, oh, bacteria loves mucus. So if you have a disease where you're producing excess mucus, you're going to have a tendency to have more infections. Now, the mucus that's produced during chronic bronchitis is not normal mucus. So how many of you have ever hocked up a loogie when you're really sick? What's it like? Okay, beyond the color. It's like, it's really thick. It's like a globule. It's like that slime on Nickelodeon. I mean, it's just like gooey and... Have you ever been sick when you're like coughing and coughing and coughing and all of a sudden you go, and it goes out, it just goes flying out of your throat and like sticks to the wall? You guys haven't been hanging around the right patients, huh? Okay, so it's very sticky, tenacious stuff. It means it's harder for a patient to cough it up, which again lets bacteria have more time to colonize it and cause infections. All right, so ordinarily, irritants cause mucus secretion. We already talked about that. In chronic bronchitis, they also cause hyperplasia and hypertrophy of goblet cells. Now, what does the word hyperplasia mean? Hyper, more. Plasia is cell growth. So more cells to grow. What is hypertrophy? Cells get bigger. Now, what is a goblet cell? It's the cell from which we drink wine. When the term is very descriptive. What have we just been talking about for the past couple moments? Mucus. So a goblet cell produces and secretes mucus. So if we've got more goblet cells, and the goblet cells we have are bigger, what do you think we have more of? Mucus. That mucus will be thicker and stickier and harder to cough up, and the bacteria will colonize it. At the same time, because you've got more goblet cells, you have fewer cells producing cilia. And the ones that are producing cilia don't work quite as well. And the mucus is thicker, so it's harder for that cilia to get the mucus back up. So it's going to stay down in the bronchi. The end result is increased likelihood of infection. The bronchial walls will also become inflamed and causes two problems very similar to asthma. What two problems would those be? Bronchospasm or bronchoconstriction and bronchial edema. So this patient looks very much like a patient with asthma. They've got excess mucus, they've got bronchial constriction, and they've got bronchial edema. So how do you think we're going to treat this? Very similar to asthma, but in this case, what we want to do is we really want to make sure we stop the inflammatory process. So we'll talk a bit more about the treatment of this when we get to the drug part. Patient's going to have a narrowed airway, difficulty expiring. For whatever reason, the way that our bronchi are made, those little mucus globules act as one-way valves. So when the patient breathes in, not too difficult. But when they breathe out, the mucus like acts as one-way valve, and it's a lot harder to breathe that air out. So breathe out, breathe in. Now, pretend like it's hard to breathe out. Good job. That's what it's like to have chronic bronchitis. All right, so our patient is going to have decreased exercise tolerance. What's the three-letter abbreviation for that? DOE, dyspnea on exertion. So they're going to exercise less and less. When we say exercise, we don't necessarily mean workout on a treadmill. We mean they're not going to go to the mall anymore. They're not going to go to Publix anymore. They're not going to go check their mail anymore. They're not going to walk their dog anymore. They're just going to do less and less and less until they're just eventually just sitting in a chair doing nothing all day, because anything else would make them short of breath. They're typically going to have wheezing when they're having the active problem, and dyspnea, productive cough, yay, mucus plugs. Now, the mucus is produced all throughout the lung, airway. And so what you're going to have is they're going to have some being produced in the larger airway. Now, when you're sick and you hawk up big loogies, what's happening is those little cilia are pulling the mucus up from smaller airways until it gets to your carina, and then you cough up a big one. Now, with these guys, what's happening is because those cilia aren't really moving, what they're going to do is they're going to cough up very, very small little plugs, because those are what's clogging up their smaller bronchioles, because they don't have the active cilia escalator. So typically what will happen is they'll go, and they'll have little dots of mucus, and those are called mucus plugs. Progression. As a person gets worse and worse and worse, they're going to begin holding on to, what is hypercapnia again? Too much what? Too much carbon dioxide. As a result, that's going to decrease their drive to breathe and lead to hypoxemia. The patient's body will respond to the lower levels of hypoxemia by producing more red blood cells. So polycythemia is more red blood cells. The patient may also become cyanotic because they're not saturating all of their hemoglobin. In the old days, they would call this person who's cyanotic a blue bloater, and they would call this person who is polycythemic a pink puffer. But don't worry about that. What we care about is cyanosis, not saturating hemoglobin. Polycythemia is a response to chronic hypoxemia. Same thing when Fernanda lived in Quito at 9,000 feet. Her body didn't have as much oxygen, so it responded by producing more red blood cells. All right, later on, eventually, this chronic bronchitis is going to lead to pulmonary hypertension. It's just going to be harder to pump blood through the lungs. That, in turn, will lead to cor pulmonale, which means right-sided heart failure. So, COPD, if left long enough and gets bad enough, will ultimately lead to heart failure, which will then lead to disability and death. All right, so treatment. Evaluation first. History and physical is what especially needs to be asked about during that history. Smoking history, and to a lesser degree, occupational environmental history. Chest X-ray, pulmonary function tests or spirometry, and arterial blood gases. And if you had to choose just one thing in order to evaluate a patient with COPD, what would that one thing be out of those four? The spirometry. Because remember, it's lung function is what we're after. So you want to try and increase lung function. If you increase lung function, everything else will get better. So spirometry is the number one test for managing and diagnosing COPD. The other stuff is helpful, but spirometry is the most important. All right, now the best treatment? Prevention. Now, the disease is not reversible. So now if a person stops smoking, they'll stop inhaling all of those irritants, they will get better in terms of symptoms. However, their airway will always remain somewhat hyper-responsive. So even though all of that mucus production will kind of go away, if they have any other exposure to irritants, they're still going to have the same hyperreactivity, but not to the same degree. So stopping smoking can prevent progression, but not any damage that's already been done. Treatment: bronchodilators, expectorants to hock that stuff up, anticholinergics. Repeat after me, anticholinergics. Say it again. Say it one more time. All right, now, what do anticholinergics do in the lung? What two things? They cause bronchodilation. Good. What else do they do? Say again. So, less mucus. So, bronchodilators sound like a tailor-made medication class for COPD because it's going to stop two of the big things that are the problem. Less mucus, and it's going to cause bronchodilation. Will it do anything for the inflammation itself? No. So we're still going to probably want to put this patient on an anti-inflammatory drug as well. So there we have at the bottom, we have steroids. Chest physical therapy, what did we say that was the other day? So pounding on the patient's chest so you break up the mucus, make it easier to bring up. You should try it the next time you have bronchitis. Ask your roommate to pound on your chest. Antibiotics if there's an infection, and low doses of oxygen for very severe patients. Why low doses of oxygen? Say again? Okay. You have the end part right, but I'm not sure if the first part is quite right. Right, they're relying on the hypoxemia to give them the drive to take the next breath. So if you give them high doses, you'll turn off that drive, they'll fall asleep, and never wake up. I think that's what you're saying. Yeah. All right, so low doses only because high doses will kill them.